Reamer, Brad Foe. Here until 2 o'clock at 617-779-7937. Patriots Monday, sifting through. I know, it's football music.
Nice.
It's a Patriots Monday. We got Rob Ninkovich on the line. Rob, how are you? It is Reamer in Bradford.
Hey, what's up? I'm good.
What's going on?
I couldn't believe it, Rob. So I was on with Diossi on Friday, and we were interviewing Devin McCourty, and I listen to you every single week. You're awesome on this program. I said, Rob Ninkovich said about rookies, that maybe they hit the wall. Maybe with the Patriot system, they have to think more. This is exactly what Devin McCourty said when I said that.
Well, first I will stop listening to Rob Ninkovich.
I couldn't believe he said that. What's going on?
Well, he's a buddy of mine, so, you know, Dev can say that. He can say that, and it doesn't bother me. Now, if I didn't know, if it was Jason, then I'd have to go knock on his door. What are you talking about? I don't know you that well.
What'd you think of the team yesterday, Rob?
You know, I think they beat the Buffalo Bills.
They did, yes.
So, they should have beat the Buffalo Bills. If they didn't, it would have been the end of the world. So, you know, I think they played a team that probably already had their bags packed to Aruba, and they're excited for their offseason because their season's over. It was a good game for them to run the football, work on that, their running scheme for the playoffs. But, you know, when you look at the teams that are in the playoffs, I think offensive, punching power, the Patriots don't have the punching power that some of these other teams have.
Right, I think that's the main issue, Rob. How about Brady? Do you think that he's hurt? What are you seeing from TB12?
I don't know if he's hurt or if he's just getting older. You know, I mean, everyone seems to have this false sense of, you know, Tom's invincible, but he's 41 years old. He's playing a position where you get 300-pound guys landing on you, hitting you, you know, big guys all around you. So, I mean, it gets a little hairy in there. So I just think that we're seeing Tom, you know, slow down a little bit.
Yeah, but did you ever see Brady like yesterday? And I understand that, and I'm with you on that too. But I don't remember seeing a game like yesterday where he's not holding on the ball, not going through reads and just dumping it down and then bailing out as much as he did. That was something we talked about obviously the previous week as well. It just did not seem like a guy that I had seen in regards to Tom Brady in a long, long time, if ever.
I mean, I see a guy that just doesn't want to get hit. And when you are in a game where that's the name of the game, you're getting hit all the time. I just think that it's that point of his career where he's like, all right, I need to get myself ready for the playoffs. I can't take unnecessary hits. In a game where they pretty much had that game handed, you know, in hand, they were going to be able to continue and win that football game. So I think he was trying to limit his times he was hitting the ground. So anytime you're 41 years old, the more times you get hit and the more times you hit the ground, the longer you're going to feel it. So if he can get out of a game with the least amount of hits and the least amount of contact, you know, that's going to help him in the playoffs.
Do you think he's doing that more often, though, Rob, the last few weeks bailing out of plays? Because we have these plays ingrained in our memories, the interception against the Steelers, the last throw to Edelman, a few throws yesterday, one to Gronk in particular sticks out to me. Are you seeing Brady bail out more over the last 3-4 weeks, or is this something you've been seeing all season?
No, I mean, I think he's been trying to avoid contact. And, you know, I think that's what happens when you get a little bit older. I mean, my last year playing, I didn't really stick my nose into things that I used to stick my nose into all the time. So, you know, I think that that's just part of the game. As you get older, you start to realize your mortality, and you're like, okay, well, if I take 5 more hits this game, what am I going to feel like all week? You know, so I think Tommy Boy is going to be ready to go for the playoffs. You know, I think we'll see a different guy in the playoffs because he's going to have that extra week in the bye, and he'll be ready to go.
All right, Rob, so the other conversation, and if Brady had his normal game, this is probably what we'd be talking about, is Gronk. What did you see in Gronk? Because we have a million different theories on what's going on with him, whether it's the lifting or whether it's the injuries or whether it's his mental state, whatever it is. You watch him yesterday. What was your takeaway from him?
I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. probably physical because of all the injuries that he's had, yes. Maybe a little bit mental because of the injuries that he's had and the toll it's taken on him, physically and mentally. There's a combination there. And, you know, he's played a lot of football, a lot of miles, you know, on him. So you buy a set of tires and they say they last 50,000 miles. Well, he's probably at about 70, you know. So I just think that moving forward, he's still a great tight end. I think people have the misconception of Jill just because he's not 24, 25-year-old Rob Gronkowski that he's not as productive, you know, for the team. But they wouldn't be able to run the football if they didn't have Rob out there the way that he blocks. And they wouldn't be able to do the certain things that they do on offense if Rob wasn't out there. So there's a lot of things that he brings to the table. He just necessarily isn't 25-year-old Gronk.
Do you think he plays in the NFL next year?
That's a tough one. I think that at this point he's going to take it year by year and he's going to really think things through. And pain is a big thing. I mean, if you live with pain, it's a terrible thing to have to work through. And when you're running and cutting and getting hit by other people and getting your legs chopped out from underneath you, that's not fun. So, you know, Rob's made a lot of money. He's smart, you know, with his money. So he's made, you know, good investments. I would think that, you know, he'd want to save a little bit for down the road where he can do a lot of different things and not have to worry about being in pain a lot.
You mentioned Gronk's role in the run game, Rob. You know, a layman like myself will watch the game and see Gronk's only targeted three times, and we'll see his offensive production this year, obviously not what it was, and we go, oh, he's hurt. He's, you know, Rex Ryan goes, he's running with a piano on his back, lack of first, et cetera. But you bring up the point that he's still in there all the time. He's playing a huge role in the blocking game. So what do you think, then, is the explanation for Gronk's lack of production offensively in terms of pass catching? You know, someone like me goes, oh, he must be hurt, but do you think it's more than that? What do you think the crux of that is?
I think it's, you know, the combination of the things that he's dealt with in the past with injuries, and, you know, the first thing that you start to lose is your suddenness. And when I say suddenness, a little bit of your explosion. And as a tight end, when you're running a 10-yard out route or, you know, a go route, that burst that you have, I mean, that's what separates, that's what gives you your 2-yard advantage. And then he's got a wingspan where he can really catch anything that's around him. So I think you're just seeing defenders that used to be a step or two behind him on all his routes, they're just right there with him. And then you combine that with, you know, Tom not wanting to take some of those hits and getting the ball out of his hand quickly. It explains James White's season this year. You know, get it out quick, get it to James, get it to the flat. There's not many down the field deep passes unless they're, you know, two-man routes with a play action and two overs that we saw, like, with the Steelers, with Hogan. I was thinking Hayden on the interception. But, you know, I think that that's just the offense, and that's where they're at right now. They have to run the football. If they don't run the football, you know, they're not able to do their play-action game. So they're trying to set everything up through the running game.
You know, it's when we talk to active players, and I do this when I'm interviewing baseball players as well, I say, hey, how can you compare that last year to this year, and how does it feel compared to other years going into the postseason? You almost always get the same answer, which is, it's so hard to compare years. But you know how, like, one year felt compared to another year at this time of year. So do you, with that in mind, do you get a sense that this is going to be a team that, you know what, like you said, we're saving our bullets and we're going to make a run because it's not a dominant team in the AFC? Or do you think this is trending in the way it did maybe in, what was it, 2009 or something like that?
2009, right.
Well, you know, I think there's a little bit of luck involved because, you know, they're playing the last couple of days, they played two hard games. You know, the Miami game they should have won. That's bad luck. You know, they go to Pittsburgh, they lose that game. You know, Steelers, they did what they had to do to win that game. And then the last two games, these are easy victories. They got to win these games. I mean, the Jets, you know, they're looking for the overall number one pick next year. So, you know, how much are they going to be really that competitive? They need to win these last two games. you know, it's not like they're in Seattle or they're in, you know, L.A. playing the Chargers for these regular season games here. You know, these games at the end, they're kind of, you know, two teams that are very good. So now that when they hit the playoffs, they're going to play teams that are good. They're going to play, you know, they're going to play the Ravens. If they did play the Ravens, I don't know if they necessarily want to play the Ravens right now. So, you know, I think that the competition becomes that much better when you hit the playoffs and you have to be at your best. So, you know, right now, I don't know if they're necessarily at their best. I mean, on offense, you can't really say they're at their best.
Last question for me, Rob. Last week on an NBC Sports Boston podcast, you were saying something about you don't know if the Patriots have enough leadership this year. What did you mean by that, and did their win against the Bills give you any greater insight?
No, I wasn't necessarily saying there isn't enough leadership. I was saying that the leadership that is in that locker room, trying to get the young guys to go, have played a lot of football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've played extra seasons in playoff games. I mean, if you think about that, when you play 3 years of playoff games, that's a lot of football.
Right.
And they go back. How many teams have gone back to back to back Super Bowl?
I don't know.
I mean, the Buffalo Bills.
One? Yeah, the Bills, right.
The Bills, when they lost three, which is, you know, that's a nightmare to lose three Super Bowls. So I think it's just the reality of the fact that it takes a lot of mental toughness, leadership, to get young guys that are rookies or young people that haven't played much football in the postseason to play at a high level in the playoffs and for the whole 16-game stretch, which is a very long season when some of these guys have only played eight, you know, if they're coming out of college. A lot more pressure, a lot more stress, not only on your body but mentally. And the guys that have done it for a long time have been stressed and are continually stressed mentally and physically as well. So when I was saying the leadership, I was saying it's tough to maintain for the long period of time that they've maintained. 10 years, I mean, think about that. 10 years, they've won their division. I mean, that's, like, insane. So it's tough to stay hungry when you've won Super Bowls. You know, a lot of these guys are on their second contract, so they've got a good amount of money saved up, and now you're getting beat up, and you're 31, 32, 41 years old, you know?
Well, Rob, you have done a few things that neither one of us has ever done, played in the NFL being one, and interviewed Trey Flowers being the other. It's part of the regular interview with Trey Flowers. So I have a legitimate question. So we're talking about how should we lead into it. Should we go the route of have you gotten all your Christmas shopping done first, or should we go, hey, what was it like seeing the Eagles beat the Texans?
Texans cheering for the Eagles just so shortly.
What is going to get the best interview out of Trey Flowers? What's the best route to go?
Yeah, pump us up.
I'd start with it's Christmas Eve to get everything done.
You're right, Rob.
You know, your last shopping.
Yep.
That's that one, because, you know, he's probably not going to want to talk about any other team.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Well, I remember I was saying this to Alex. I remember doing that with Logan Mankins, and he said, yeah, I got a chainsaw. I got a chainsaw when I was 11 years old. I was like, huh? So that's a good answer. There you go.
Trey, I saw him before the game. I was hoping he'd get two on him out there, two sacks. I'm trying to be nice for him to get the double digits, but, you know, we'll see. He's got one more game.
Yeah, well, he has an opportunity to do that next week. All right, Rob, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Thanks.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Rob.